Welcome back to Woodwose Radio and Tarot Talk. This is Brian, obviously sounding a lot better than I did last week. And Joy's here with us as well. We're talking tonight about the Sixes and Justice and the Hanged Man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Some of the interesting ones tonight. Go ahead and finish your introduction.
That was pretty much it.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, there was plans in there.
If I sound a little off my game tonight, guys, it's because I'm not feeling super good. It's that time of the month, and just about every lady out there understands exactly what I'm talking about, because it only comes around once every 28 days or so. But, you know, even those of us that don't bleed still get the moodiness, so we're going to do the best we can tonight. Okay, we got Justice and the Hangman in the Major Arcana, and I like these two cards together. Once again, the Justice card in some decks can be swapped around with Strength, so that Strength is the number 11 card, and Justice is the number 8 card, but in most decks, it's the 8 is Strength, and 11 is Justice. But numerologically, I want to mention this because there's special significance given to the number 11. 11 and 22 both. But 11 is one of those numbers. And I haven't studied numerology that closely, so Brian may, you know, you jump in with any knowledge with this. But I do know that 11s are given special significance rather than adding them together like you do with every other combination of numbers. In this case, Justice is actually a pretty interesting card. Looking at it visually, the symbolism in it, you have a lady who's sitting down. She's got a sword in one hand. She's got scales in the other. And this is a standard symbol. You see it every time you wind up going down to the courthouse. It's the you know, Statue of Justice. The only difference is she's not blindfolded. Now, in this particular card, at least with the Robin Wood deck, and probably quite a number of others, she's, you know, in red robes. Red naturally is for passion, but it's also for clarity of thought. In a lot of cases, because you see red, and believe it or not, the color red and the color pink calm you down for a little while, at least when you're initially exposed to it. After a while, you start getting mad again, but I know with pink, you can, it is used as something to take away a lot of anger and get you calmed down somewhat in some penal systems. I never understood it, and there was a thing on 2020, I think, like 30 years ago, talking about how this pink color was used in holding cells, and initially it calmed down people that were put in there, especially violent offenders. And it was pretty interesting. I thought that was a nice little psychological thing.
Well,
but anyway, go ahead.
Well, I actually, there was a period in my teens where I was actually really into color therapy and, you know, the psychology of using colors for different purposes. And I actually had a supervisor at one job where she was renovating her kitchen and she actually painted it red because apparently red stimulates your appetite as well. So It's a crazy color.
It is. It's very, very strange. She's wearing a purple cloak. Purple cloak does signify royalty because purple is one of those colors that it's very, very hard to get as a naturally occurring dye, and to get it out of the animals and the plants that actually have it as part of their makeup is extremely hard. So it was a very expensive process, and this is something that only royalty could afford to do, which is why in a lot of medieval paintings you only see royalty with very, very dark blue or purple robes, because they were the only ones that could afford it. Red apparently is a true red, a deep, rich crimson red, is apparently just as hard to get out of nature. So that's another reason why walking on the red carpet is such a huge thing, because it is an expensive luxury that most of the peasantry can't afford. But purple does symbolize royalty, and since justice is sitting in judgment of you, and those types of actions were the purview of the rulers and the ruling class and the people that took care of the government, this would be, you know, really appropriate. Now, she has a drawn sword, and it's held upright, and she, in her other hand, she's got a pair of scales. What I find interesting looking at this card at this point is that it looks like, visually, on this particular Justice card with the Robin Wood deck, that she's got a silver sword point up, and the way she's holding the scale in her other hand, in her left hand, and the way the folds of the cloak are falling, it looks like she's got a purple sword point down whose cross guard has the scales on it. Okay? That's not exactly what's going on, but that's, if you're not looking really closely, that's what it looks like she's got two swords.
That's interesting. I never noticed that before, actually.
Do you see it, though?
I do. Yeah, that's actually really cool.
And at first I was like, wait a second, she's got two swords? And then I'm looking closer, and I mean, the balance section of the scales of justice look like a hilt and pommel. And the way everything is falling, it looks exactly like it's a dark sword. As a matter of fact, let me see in the actual book if that's what she did deliberately, because I think she probably did, looking at it closer. Blonde hair, she's seated, eyes are wide open, she's calm, wearing red robes because of the courage with which she does this. Her cape is green, both red and green to show balance. Cloak is fastened. In her right hand, she holds the shining silver sword of truth and knowledge. Sword can cut both ways. Nothing can stand against it. The hilt is set with a blue stone. In her left hand, she holds the golden scales of knowledge and judgment. They're perfectly balanced. The handle's set to look like an amber stone. That's a scale with a balance on it.
Just a quirk of the image.
Yeah, it's... Wait a second. If you look, the juxtaposition of the scales and her open sleeve mirror the sword. So that is deliberate.
Okay.
She
cool.
made that look like that deliberately, even though that is not what's happening. It's not a sheathed sword. It's not a dark sword. And because the bright sword is pointing up, the dark sleeve sword is pointing down, and also indicates the concept of as above, so below. All right.
That makes
total
sense, actually. And I mean, the whole theme of the Justice card is a restoration of balance, so it does totally make sense that the two, quote, swords are pointing in opposite directions and balancing one another out.
And one is light and the other's dark, and one looks like it's drawn and the other looks like it's sheathed, and, you know, you've got all of it there.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I was flipping through a book earlier, and it brings up the point, yet again, apparently every major arcana card is sexual somehow. The raised sword is the male phallus, and the scales are a man's nads, basically. And I was like, really? Like, every single major arcana card, according to this book, I don't even remember which one it is, happens to be a sexual reference somehow. And I'm like, well, I suppose you could call it that, but yeah.
But if you're going to have the opposites like that, and especially on the Justice card, which is all about balance and all about the two extremes working in harmony with each other, you don't need just male symbols. You would expect to see a vessel of some sort that the sword would be put into, as in during the symbolic Great Rite, where you insert a knife into a cup to symbolize the male phallus entering the female vagina.
Well,
you know,
I think that's where the whole female judge is. Like, I think that's her role in that card, is to be the female who is, you know, present to balance out the male energy of the twig and berries, as it were.
Well, you know, as what the heck was his name? Psychologist Freud said, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Exactly. But on the other hand, why just let it be a cigar? Let's read deep meaning into it, because it's so much more interesting that way.
Well, it's interesting, but you can also get away from the point of the whole thing simply due to the fact that you put so much symbology into it, or symbolism, or mythology, or whatever you want. You know, you can make, this fold on her cloak, because it is on her knee, represents the fact that she kneels before the altar of the goddess. And, you know, when somebody else looking at it, and I can see, you know, the artist coming up and going, no, you know what that is? That's a fold. That's art.
This is very true.
It reminds me of a short story that I read some time ago about a guy that invented a time machine and wound up going back in time and, you know, collecting several people from history and bringing them back into the future. And he was talking about this with some colleagues at a college that he taught at, and the literature professor was like, oh man, that would have been great. I would have loved to have had Shakespeare in my class and to hear what he would have to say. And the guy pipes up and says, well, you had Shakespeare in your class. You failed him. And he's like, what? Yes, he came into the class. He took your test. He was, you know, you gave him a quiz or something about Romeo and Juliet and about all of the political infighting and how this happened and that happened. And, you know, why did he write it? Because he was making a commentary on the political, you know, aspects of the time. And Shakespeare was putting down, I wrote it because I needed the money.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, that's just it, right? Some of the greatest books in history have been written just based on things that people couldn't even imagine them being about. Like, I mean, you've got like Alice in Wonderland. Brilliant book. Read it 70 fucking times as a kid.
And then to find out that it's about a guy's fantasy with girls, little girls. And
really? See,
supposedly.
What I heard. Well, I heard that it was his criticism of the new math, because he just didn't like the idea of inventing numbers or having negative integers and all that shit.
That's a possibility. I haven't heard that one, but what I did hear was that he was not an active pedophile, but he was a little girl lover, somebody that enjoyed being around them, talking to them, maybe not having sexual relationships with them, but definitely somebody that enjoyed the girls a little too much. And that's what a lot of the Alice in Wonderland is about, Through the Looking Glass.
Weird.
I've also heard that he was stoned out of his mind when he wrote them. I mean, just looking at the poem, The Jabberwocky, and, you know, it's like, well, okay, you got enough evidence of that. There's, you know, the hunt for the snark or whatever it is. Same thing.
Now, relating that to tarot.
Sorry. Yeah, we get off on tangents all the time. Anyway, okay. The justice card in this, she also has a laurel wreath on, showing that she is a victor and somebody that, you know, succeeds in her judgments. So that's, you know, significant as well. Now, looking at other sets of cards.
She's not a Libra. She's a judge. I'll not have you claiming any astrological superiority. I'm there. I win.
I am getting out the micrometer. I'm going to make sure that this piece of cake is not even one little tiny bit more than what I have, so you can't have more than me.
Okay. No, you do have a point, actually, little patience. when we're talking, like, astrological relation of major arcana to the zodiac, yes, because she has the scales, she is the sign of Libra.
Yes, she is. That is one of the, that's another thing. And, you know, several of the tarot cards relate back into the various astrological signs, and Libra is one of them. Let me grab my actual physical deck instead of the virtual decks that I'm using and make sure that the Hanged Man isn't something as well. But, okay.
Oh, the Hanged Man is something all right.
Let's see. Oh, well, he's something all on his own, but I'm talking about astrologically. Anyway, then, okay, in the Housewives Tarot, we've got mom spanking her son, which I guess is just, after all, in its own way. In the Celtic Tarot, oh, this is interesting, Cuchulain. He's represented by Cuchulain, so that's interesting. Yes, justice is death. I mean, justice is
blind.
Libra.
lost some sense or other today.
Something, yes. I am not on my A game right now, everybody. Please forgive me. Plus, I've got a mewing cat that is all over me here. Kumiko, the younger of the two cats, is still in heat. I wish she would get out of it. Okay, anyway. Now, on to the Hanged Man. Number 12. That is my absolute favorite number ever because that's also my birthday in January. So, one other point I wanted to make about justice. We'll come back to it, though. The Hanged Man is surrender, actually. The way I was taught to interpret the Hanged Man is Jesus take the wheel, okay? That is about as perfect a description as you can possibly get. It is, I am in a position that I can get out of, that I may not be totally responsible for myself. And I am going to surrender my stubbornness in this situation to a higher power and wait. If you look at the card, he's hanging upside down. Now, his hands are probably tied behind him because you can't see his hands, but his hands are behind his back. He's hanging by one leg. The other leg is crossed behind the branch that he's on, and he's holding his own ankle down to keep him in place. His hair is, you know, straight up. But he's got this very, very peaceful look on his face of, okay, this is the situation I'm in. I'm not able to do much about it right this moment. I'm content to wait for something to happen. Okay? A lot of people, especially a lot of the Satrus, relate the hanged man to Odin's sacrifice on Yggdrasil while he was waiting for the runes. Because he hung for 9 days from the tree after he ripped his own eye out so that he could acquire the knowledge of the runes. It is a waiting time to gain wisdom, to gain something else. It's a sacrifice of self more than anything else, because you're sacrificing your needs, your desires, your wants to a higher power, and you are content to wait for what you need to come to you. You're not trying to force it. You're not trying to bring it to you. You're not trying to develop it. You're waiting for it to arrive. You've already given of yourself, and now you are waiting for it to come. What I wanted to say about justice is something that Mary keeps telling me over and over and over, and every time she talks about the cards, and especially about justice, she mentions this. Which would you rather have, perfect justice or perfect mercy? And be very careful what you say, because remember, justice has no extenuating circumstances. If you kill somebody and the penalty is to be killed, it doesn't matter whether you were doing it viciously, whether you were doing it intentionally, whether you were doing it to defend somebody, whether you were doing it to defend yourself. It is the same penalty across the board. Okay?
That's true.
So that's something that you need to pay attention to. And when you start thinking about justice, 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 remember that that justice cuts both ways, just like a sword. Okay? Let's see. Comments in the chat room. Oh.
Mostly, talking about Libras.
Well, first, I'm not a Libra, so I'm a Capricorn, so I can't really speak much on Libras. Let's see. Who ripped Odin's eye out? Odin ripped his own eye out. It was a sacrifice. It was a self-sacrifice.
He dropped it into Mimir's well because that was like the source of wisdom.
And he knew he would have to give of himself for that.
The Norse god.
Yeah. Odin. O-D-I-N. The ruler of the Norse gods.
Votan. Woden. He has a number of names, but they're all the same.
Yeah. Woden. Wotan, you said, yes. And while we're waiting, I'm going to mention one of the resources that I use. There's a website out there called tarotgarden.com. It's all one word. But in there, they have a database. And that database has just about every deck of cards you possibly want to see. They have examples of them. They don't have the full decks. But you can get several samples of cards. There's usually about six there. And see what some of the artwork is like. Doesn't give you a gauge on how big they are, but there's, looks like 10 decks per page, and there's 213 pages of decks.
So there's a lot that have been in and out of print, too. I mean,
yeah.
there's bound to be decks that are absolutely gorgeous that you desperately want that. The only way you're getting the deck is going to be, like, paying $1,000 to some random person who happens to have it and knows that you want it.
Oh, yeah. Because collecting decks is like collecting anything else. It's a occupation of some people. Some people just want it for the artwork. Some people just want it for the caveat of having it, you know, whatever. It's completely up to their own aesthetic. And so, you know, 2,100 decks just on that one website is a heck of a lot. But yeah, Googling for various images out there is always really fun. If you know the name of the deck, you have a lot more likelihood of getting the artwork that is out on Google, because even though it's illegal, people still scan their cards up and put them on the internet simply because they can. I am appreciative of those who scan their artwork and put them out there for everybody to see, but also acknowledge, you know, the deck artist, the deck author, and the publication house where it comes from. Because that, you know, gives you a way to go and get that deck if you happen to like it. And this website does do that. Once again, that is tarotgarden.com. Go take a look if you haven't ever looked at it before. They've got also other resources on there. Kumiko, do not put your claws in my ass.
Ah, cats.
Oh, I mean, I love her. She's a wonderful cat most of the time, but she gets into this into heat, and she turns into this destructive frenzy, almost like a Tasmanian devil. Remember that spinning whirlwind thing that just destroyed everything? She'll lay down next to me and be cooing at me and spinning like a lathe and digging her claws into my feet and legs and, oh, okay. Anyway... Enough of my problems. Let's see what else we got. Kukulain as the justice. That one's really appropriate, and at first I was like, Kukulain for justice? But in the story of Kukulain, what he wound up doing at this particular time period that they're referencing in the deck is... He was coming back from a game of Hurley that he was playing with his friends. He was supposed to meet up with his guardian. They were at the house of Kalane and Siddhanta, as he was called at the time, was walking up the path, and Kalane's dog came charging after him because he was an unknown person, and the dog was supposed to guard Kalane's house. Well, Siddhanta took his hurley bat and the wooden hurley ball and knocked it right through the dog. I mean, it went out in its mouth and out its tail and killed the dog. Well, you know, Kalane, when he got up to the house, he admitted what he did, that he killed the dog, and Kalane was pretty upset because, you know, here his guardian has just been murdered. And while he can get another dog, and that's fine, it's going to take time for it to grow. It's going to take time for it to be trained to guard. So Siddhanta made a deal that until the new dog was grown and trained, he would guard Kulain. Thus, he got the name Kukulain of Kulain. And this is a just decision for a... 9-year-old, 10-year-old boy to take. You know, he killed the dog. He knew it was wrong. It was something that he had to do to defend his own life. And then he offers to take the place of the dog until the next one is trained. Okay, that's just. For the hanged man, let's see, what have we got here? Conla? Kukulain brought Conla's corpse to the Uliad warriors. One day they espied a boy arriving in a bronze boat. He refused to tell them his name and never conceded peace to anyone. So Kukulain challenged him, but the boy was even stronger than him. Kukulain was so furious that he pierced him with a javelin and only recognized his son Conla on seeing the golden ring that he had given him. So on the hanged man for the Celtic deck, we have Kukulain also. Except this time he's a much older gentleman, and he's just killed his own son. So now he's having to surrender to, you know, his fate. It was his son's Geas, or Geist, or Geist, or however you decide to pronounce it. I've always pronounced it Geas. that he not give his name to anyone except his father. And unfortunately, he didn't know his father. His father didn't know him. He couldn't tell him, this is my name, because Cuculain knew his son's name, but that was it. So he wound up killing him. And once again, you have fate stepping in and taking a role. In the pagan deck, that's an interesting interpretation. The hanged man in that is an initiation. The two coven members who are binding and blindfolding a new initiate who's about to be initiated into the coven. For those of you who don't know, who've never been through a Wiccan initiation, the procedure is that the coven meets, they're all together, they start the ritual, and somebody goes out and brings the initiate in. In the process, they're bound and blindfolded. Usually they're stripped naked also. And this is not any pervy thing. This is there's a very good reason for this. And it's because the initiate is being born into a new life. When you are in the womb, you have no sight, you can't hear anything, you can't move. And when you are brought into the circle to be presented to the rest of the coven, you are taking on a new identity. And so you are being born into the family of the coven, and so your bindings are removed, your blindfold is removed, and you are reborn as you would be. Okay? That is the significance of that. And so that's an interesting artwork to use for the hanged man, which also works. The hanged man in the Housewives Tarot is a giant lady outside hanging up her laundry, and part of that is her husband, who she's pinned to the clothesline. It's kind of cute, and it's still the same theme of surrendering to a higher power. And I guess in the housewives' eyes, they are the higher power. So, okay. So, back to the chat room. Let's see here. All right, nothing else going on right now. So that's good.
But, yeah, I mean, in the Druidcraft Tarot, the hanged man is, like, naked and bound and hanging from a tree, and he has leaves coming out of his mouth. And like, every detail of the card has obvious meanings that are described in the book, but... there's a sheaf of wheat sitting in the background with a sickle next to it too, which I suppose follows into the theme with that sacrifice aspect and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Which it would, because sacrificing wheat is always, you know, symbolic. Because, I mean, think about it. You have a whole field of a grain that you have cultivated, and if, like many do, you attribute a personality and a life force to the wheat, it is sacrificing itself for you, you know. And in just about every deck interpretation that I've ever seen, the hanged man is usually in a situation that they've put themselves into and one that they could get out of. Normally it's one leg that is bound to the tree. The other is usually free, which means that you could, you know, kick yourself free if you really wanted to. But for some reason they're choosing not to.
Well, I think it follows with that theme of that sort of period of introspection, mysticism, spirituality kind of thing that the hanged man sort of talks about. So, I mean, I guess the idea of holding that position There's probably some sort of association with the pose in the original Rider-Waite that, you know, talks about how it relates to, like, the Christ, you know, Christ on the cross and that sort of thing. I'm trying to find the book, but I don't have it handy.
I would tend to, just me personally, the meanings and everything tend to go along with the Odin story more than anything else. If you want to get a mythological association and you're not stretching for a specific story, that would be the closest that you could possibly come. It's a self-sacrifice for wisdom, and it's a waiting for that knowledge to come along. And that's
the
absolute best interpretation that I can think of for it.
Little Patience has the Eden Gray book I was just thinking about, I think. It's hilarious.
Okay, reversed meanings, and this is the interpretations out of the pagan tarot. The reverse justice, prejudice, bigotry, intolerance, a bad legal judgment, and a cruel punishment, which would follow. Because if you have justice, even though it is just, it is fairness, balance, equality, and the reversal of that would be, you know, intolerance. It would be bad judgments. It would be prejudging somebody, which is what prejudice is, based on, you know, something that has nothing to do with anything. Bad legal judgments, and it could be cruel and unusual punishments as well. The reversed hanged man, a wasteful search, selfishness, lack of effort needed to achieve a goal, a useless gesture. So it would be a sacrifice to no purpose. You sacrifice something, and you get, it's not that you don't get anything in return. It's that you didn't need to sacrifice it at that time for what you thought you wanted. So that's those. Let me see. Is there anything? Oh, Robin says that the hanged man should be, the mnemonic for it should be a new point of view, which would follow also, which is also interesting. Let's see. Legs make a triangle, which I guess is significant.
There's a figure four in there. I think it relates to Saturn or something like that.
Possibly. Well, she's saying his legs too form a triangle, but with one point up, not one point down. It's a little cockeyed, but that's what I meant. Together with his red trues, this makes the symbol of fire or will.
That
he's doing
would
this
explain the red in both cards, yeah.
Yep, sure would. Doing this through his own free will. Red is courage for taking this step. Nimbus of light around his head, or a halo. They got to get that holy religious aspect in there someplace.
Well, I think it ties back to that whole pursuit of wisdom thing. Because, I mean, you've got the Odin sacrifice for wisdom, but you... Like, I think Eden Gray talks about how it relates to that search for mysticism, and I think it relates really well to the whole Gnostic approach to spirituality, where you develop a strong will or thelema in the pursuit of knowledge, which allows you to become self-realized and enlightened.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I think we pretty much covered the major arcana tonight, so I'm going to put those away and uncover the sixes. Go ahead and grab your six cards. I've got them arranged: pentacles, swords, then cups, then rods. The sixes. The sixes tend to be a gift, okay? It's not necessarily, it's all of them together, they all show the person that's the focus of the card getting something from someone else or giving something to someone else. The Six of Pentacles, you have a gentleman who's giving out pentacles to other people, charity. The Six of Swords, you have a gentleman in a boat who's going towards a distant shore, who's being rowed by an invisible death, a journey which is a gift and an opportunity to find new things. The Six of Cups is a young boy who's giving a potted plant, essentially, to an even younger girl. And then the Six of Wands is a gentleman riding into a town triumphant on his white horse with his banners flying, and the crowd is there and they're cheering and they're giving adoration. All of these, well, you've got the numerological association of two threes or three twos, whichever you want.
Yeah, I mean, there's the sixes. I mean, it's more obvious in like the Lover's card, but six is sort of a combination of communication and peace and love and, you know, that sort of thing. So it relates really well through all the sixes and their related numerological cards as well. Although in like the Devil card, which is associated through sixes because the one and five add up to it, you've got kind of that negative expression of love where it's very clingy and codependent, where it's kind of self-imposed problems and struggle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's going to come up in about 2 weeks where we'll talk about the devil. Sticking with tonight's theme, the Six of Pentacles. What it depicts here is a gentleman who is obviously a very wealthy person. Once again, we've got the deep, rich crimson that royalty could afford, but nobody else could. He's got a necklace with five pentacles on it. There are people in front of him that you can't see. All you can see is their hands, but they have their hands out, and he's putting a pentacle into one of their hands, and that's the six pentacles. But he's also holding a set of scales, which, in continuation with justice tonight, this would also work out because he's judging their worthiness for his charity. He obviously has money. He's trying to help others. He is distributing the money to others. It could be alms. It could just be charity. It could be paying for something. We don't know why he's giving this out. But he is obviously wealthy. He is obviously giving this money away. So last week we had the Five of Pentacles, where it was the old couple who were destitute, who were outside of the church, who didn't have anything and were throwing themselves on the mercy of other people's charity. Well, here you have the personification of that charity in the Six of Pentacles, where he is giving charity to others. Instead of receiving charity, he's giving it now.
Is that a subtle commentary, like, on the part of the tarot deck developers that was saying, don't expect the church to give you anything, talk to your neighbors if you're in need?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a direct, you know, pipeline mind-to-mind with Elvis Levi, okay? And since he came up with most of these associations, you know, he would be the one to ask on this. But, yeah, that's an interesting thought, and it could be. I'm not going to say it is, but
let's
see. Little
Patience hates that card, apparently.
Mm. Let's see. The key to the Six of Pentacles, the mnemonic is gratification. Let's see. Red hat with a cream plume passes coins to petitioner. So, okay. Six of Swords. We kind of touched on this one a while back in one of the other episodes we were talking about it. Most people take this to be a journey of some sort, travel to distant locations, something along those lines. Very spiritually reading decks tend to show this as a crossing or astral projection of some sort, because in a lot of cases the symbolism on this card relates to Charon and the boat of death crossing the river Styx. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but you know, when I think about Hades and the river Styx and Charon and Charon's boat and the people on the boat, I don't see, you know, a sunlit sky with clouds in it and, you know, a little cave in the distance under green hills. I see, you know, this dark, dank cave with this huge river and the skeleton, you know, that's got these tattered black robes. And he's got the, you know, pole that looks like it's just going to shatter any second. And it's dark and dismal and scary. That's not what this card is. But the basic symbolism is the same. It is a boat. It is a gentleman who is poling the boat with a pole. He is taking somebody else across a body of water of some sort to a distant shore. Okay. So relating it to Charon's boat is a wonderful thing. In some decks, this reads as the warning that there will be a death of some sort. There's a, in my deck at least, when I look at this card, it is travel, yes, but more than that, it's a rite of passage. It is, along with the death card, going from a state that you're in now through something into another state, okay? Because he's in a sunlit area. He's in a boat. He's going into a cave. There is a distant point of light in that cave. Something is going to happen. He doesn't know what. It's going through this cave, and he's going to come out on the other side. Well, that's a passage rite. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's like being born. It's, you know, goes right along with the hanged man in that this is something that going from one state to another. And since the next major arcana card that we're going to talk about next week, the very first one is death, which is a transformation from one state to another, this goes with that too. Okay? And the swords, I guess, are just there so that they have the swords related to it.
Pretty much.
I see absolutely no reason in this card to have six swords in it. But they're there. They're standing upright in the boat because it needs, you know, the swords need to be there for the six, I guess.
Because there's an intention to pirate the first boat that comes along.
Oh, okay. All right. Send them to Hades.
Exactly. You've got everyone on board the boat is like ambidextrous and capable of just kicking ass with two swords in hand.
Well, there's... Okay, so what? Are they like... what's the space from One Piece where they're using three swords each? Because there's only two people in the boat.
Plus the ferryman.
Anyway. Well, the ferryman is... It's the ferryman and one other guy, at least in the Robin Wood deck.
Well, that's so interesting, actually, because... that's strange, actually. The Robin Wood deck does only have one person. How odd. Because other decks have, like, two people, and it's usually, like, a man and a woman in the Druidcraft, or a... I'm going to call it a woman and a boy in the Rider-Waite. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Never noticed it before.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the Radiant Rider-Waite here, and once again, you're right. A woman and a boy. The Pagan Tarot, they're leaving a lodge, and it's two people in a canoe, which is the same basic thing. Same thing with the Celtic Tarot. Okay, well, anyway. Oh.
And that's just a bit little patience, yeah, for sure. The whole idea with sixes is that you're achieving balance and peace and, you know, a sort of respite from your troubles and worries.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I think somebody in the chat room needs to do a little study in the mythology Okay, Housewives Tarot has six steak knives and a lady with her hat box and makeup kit walking off of the card, which is pretty much the same thing. Anyway, okay, Six of Cups. Mary interprets this one, and she taught me this interpretation as well. This is somebody that is in your past, a friend from when you were a child, coming back with a gift for you, okay? It is something from, not necessarily a person, but something from the past coming back into your life now, and strongly affecting the situation that you're in, usually to help, not necessarily to harm, but, you know, as a way of making everything better. Wood deck, what?
Well, I mean, in Tarot Plain and Simple, the key word for the Six of Cups is nostalgia. And then it talks about memories and sharing and emotional renewal. So, I mean, all of those themes tie very well into that exact idea.
Mm-hmm. And in the Robin Wood book, it's home and childhood. So this card means the past, memories, nostalgia, innocence, youthful idealism, giving out of pure generosity or love with no thought of getting anything in return. So once again, it's a gift of some sort. I find it interesting that in this card, at least, it once again in the Robin Wood interpretation, since this is the symbolism that Robin gave it, that all of the cups are being used as planters for flowers. Remember, the cup symbolism in most decks is that is the emotion. That is the past. It is the element of water. It is, you know, focused on things that are necessary for life, but that staying focused on them isn't necessarily good because you wind up getting so distracted by everything else that you don't ever get what you need to get done. But in this particular card, instead of the water symbolism being there, you have a plant symbolism, which is very much earth. So in this case, it is a combination of earth and water. You have the stability given by the earth and the growing plants, but you also have the water that has to be contained in the bowl so that the plants can continue to grow. And it's a reminder in this case, at least to me, that you can't have one element by itself, okay? Even, I mean, if you want to take it on even further, you still have the air surrounding the plants, and you have the sun in the sky. So you have all four elements there working together to create abundance and to create this beauty that this boy has given to this girl. I just thought I'd mention that because that's always struck me as interesting because you don't usually see the crossover like that so obvious. But it
I don't think there's any other card where the cups are used as planters.
Mm-mm, there isn't. Let's see. No. No. Trying to figure out what combination of cards or keys I use to switch to another deck, but apparently I don't know which ones those are, so I'll have to do it manually. Let's see. Six of Cups, young girl. She's drinking pink lemonade out of six glasses. Oh, interesting. In the Radiant Rider-Waite, it's also plants in the cups as well. So that's cool. And in the Pagan Tarot also.
It's in the same, or it's the same for the Druidcraft Tarot, too.
And in the Celtic Tarot as well.
I guess so, that's somehow significant to the particular interpretation of the card, although I personally don't have any idea why.
Well, let's see if I can find a little bit more in the big book and got in there. Doesn't show childhood as much as it shows the dream of childhood, and it is nostalgic because anytime we remember the past, we always put a wonderful glow on it. It's never as terrible as it was, or it's never as horrible as we thought it was. Card shows that all good parts of being small with none of the bad. Little boys dressed in a blue tunic, little girl, sash. Let's see. She's not reached out. This is apparently significant. She has not reached out for it, though, because she is very passive stage, receptive but not grasping. Cups themselves are reminiscent of the cups shown on the ace card.
Although I did find it interesting, actually, there's a comment in one of my books that talks about how the Six of Cups represents kind of a revitalization of latent, like, talents that you just haven't been using. And, you know, drawing from the past for, you know, application to the present kind of thing.
Well, that would follow then, wouldn't it? Let's see. They are filled to overflowing with white lilies, yellow daffodils, pink rosebuds, violets, and star flowers. Lilies are for purity. Pink roses, daffodils, and violets show that this spring. No indication of what exactly the significance of the plants are, other than that they are plants. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that one for a little while.
I suppose it's up to every individual to sort of interpret that for themselves, really, because, I mean, you can go into it as deep as you want. I mean, if you want to look into the specific flowers that, you know, Eden Gray talks about specific flowers meaning specific things and the colors of them representing certain aspects and that sort of thing as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, go as deep as you want.
No, go ahead and finish up your thought.
Sorry, that's all I wanted to say.
No, I was going to say, one of the things that I want to point out to everybody that's listening to this, if you're either listening live or listening, having downloaded it, we're not trying to push any one set of interpretations or even one set of cards on anybody. What the goal here is we're trying to give an overview and a basis for further study for these cards. So if we say, you know, something about the Rider-Waite deck or the Robin Wood deck or the Druidcraft deck or something like that, this is something that is specific to that deck and that deck alone, unless we find that symbolism repeated in other decks, which is one of the reasons why I keep switching between the 20 decks that I have in my computer program here, to see if those particular symbols are repeated. Because if they are, then they're significant. If they're not, then, you know, that's, you know, something else. Like, all the Six of Wands across all of the various decks have a guy coming triumphantly into town and people cheering him, okay? Now, the Druidcraft deck is going to have one thing, and as a matter of fact, it shows the guy riding first with an eagle on his fist and six guys behind him with spears. In the Robin Wood deck, it's shown as though he's a parade and the peasantry in the town have gathered to cheer him on. In the Rider-Waite, shows it pretty much the same way. In the Pagan deck, it shows, you know, what looks like a coven ritual, and everybody's celebrating. We're not trying to tell y'all that you need to go out and buy these specific decks. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give general symbols that are across the spectrum of tarot for you to use as a starting place to study these things. Because we can give you the generalizations and the general symbols and the general meanings, but it's up to you to get the individual deck and to go, okay, this is what that symbol means, and this is significant when I look at this card, and this particular symbol is not. So once again, it's good to get to know one deck really, really well, and then branch out to pulling other decks in and using the beginning knowledge that you had from the first deck as a starting place for the study of the next deck. Okay.
Which is a common reason that a lot of books will suggest the Rider-Waite deck, because a lot of newer decks are basically revisions of that, using, you know, different themes or colors or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of decks. The popular thing to do, at least up until about 15 years ago, was to just take a deck and reinterpret the Rider-Waite into whatever art style the artist was doing. Up to about 15 years ago or so, you had the Rider-Waite was the standard, and everybody used the Rider-Waite, used the symbolism of the Rider-Waite, used the layouts of the Rider-Waite, used the colors of the Rider-Waite, and there wasn't a whole lot of variation between that. Then you started branching out into specialty decks. And when I say specialty decks, these are taking the standard symbolism that's on the card and reinterpreting it into another mythology, like the Druidcraft deck, like a numerological deck, like the Transparent deck, which I found again and actually want to get because it looks fascinating as crud, or, you know, some other deck like that, where you have the root symbolism, but some aspects of that may be minimized in favor of greater interpretation given the overall theme of the deck, where the... Where in the Rider-Waite deck, the Six of Wands, it's a parade. He's a triumphant victor returning from wherever. In a Druidcraft deck, there's not a whole bunch of peasantry there. It is the gentleman on his horse coming into some area towards the viewer, and behind him are the six rods that are following him. It's not so much as a triumphant thing as a world-weary army coming back into their home base. So, you know, that's reinterpreted into the Druidcraft deck, and that's fine. If it fits with that theme and it fits with your readings, that's how it is. I mean, don't be afraid of that. But, yeah, older decks tend to just reinterpret the Rider-Waite over and over and over again. Okay, on to the Six of Wands. In the Robin Wood deck, like I stated, got on a white horse coming from left to right. He's carrying one staff. It's got his banner on it. There are five staffs in the background. There's a crowd. You can see their legs. You can see their hands. There's only one face that you can see on the crowd behind him because the horse is in the way of everything else. And the one face that you can see is a kid. But it's obviously that this is a triumphant celebration. He's wearing a laurel crown, showing that he has been victorious. The horse is wearing his, formal panoply, rather than the war saddle and the war bridle and everything else. This is a very decorative, actually doesn't even have a saddle on. And this is a very decorative set of reins. So this is a party time for everybody. And it can be interpreted as a party. The more correct interpretation for most of these cards is going to be the triumphant entrance. Okay. But remember, with every triumphant entrance in Rome, they had a slave walking backwards going, "This too shall pass." Because this is a state that will stop at some point. You're not going to have the crowd's cheering you on forever. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just thinking that it's a very sort of unhealthy idea to believe that, you know, these minor successes, you know, at limited points in your life are going to carry on for the rest of your life. It's kind of like that, you know, those high school jocks who, you know, have letter jackets and they just hold desperately to that, you know, high school football champ identity for their entire lives. It becomes sad after a point.
Yeah, it really does. And, yeah, your past victories are wonderful and they're a good thing to put on your resume, but they're not... after a little while, it becomes, what have you done for me lately? You know, you can only relive your past triumphs for so long. And then they become, you know, nostalgic, and then they become boring. You have to keep...
Enjoy the victory while it's there, but don't hold on to it and expect the feeling to last forever.
And don't think that just because you have one victory, you can sit back on your laurels and not do anything else. You have to keep succeeding. Sorry, had cats come running through here. And
no worries.
I am going to be so glad when she's done.
If the caller is listening that I just missed, do try to call again because I would love to be able to answer you.
Let's see. And okay, so I was glancing in the chat room here, and I'm sorry that I'm not paying more attention to you guys because I see that we've actually got more people in this chat room than we've ever had before. There's a total of five people.
What the deal is with that?
Would y'all sit down? Damn.
She's not talking to me.
Lay down. Hang on a second. I'm going to put y'all on mute.
All right. But yeah, I mean, the whole overall theme of the Six of Wands card is victory. Okay, so caller, give me one sec. I'm going to play a short tune, and then I'll come get your call.
Sorry, I think it might have been me, too.
No.
As long we walk this earth together, as one we sing to her our song, as one we love her, as one we heal her, her heart beats with our own as one, as one we join with her our mother, as one we feel her secret song.
Hello? I hear a lot of you in a little voice.
As one we
touch
her, pretty loud
right now.
As one we heal her,
be
her heart beats with our own as one.
We're still here.
Okay.
As one we walk this earth
together. Yeah, I mean, like, we're gonna go all out. Gonna be her.
As one we sing to her our
song. No,
as one we love her.
Thank you.
Hi. Sorry about that. We've had two calls tonight, so I've got, you know, our caller right now, and then I've got Roxana waiting in the sort of quiet room.
Well, it wasn't
too quiet
here. Oh, yeah,
we're crazy busy tonight. So, yeah, we've had two requests for readings tonight, and so I'm going to get you, Joy, to sort of bring up your email address so that people can get in touch with you if they want to have a reading. Because, yeah, I mean.
Okay, yeah, my email address, if you want to contact me directly, is joy.a.philip, P-H-I-L-L-I-P, no S, @gmail.com. I can also be reached through aaronsjournal.com, which is the new name of the website, davinsjournal.com. So you can reach me through there as well. So we've got somebody that is on the line. You got a question or what?
Hi, today is my birthday, and my name is Lisa, and I would
happy
like...
Happy birthday.
Thank you, and I would love to know what spirit and divine plan has for me. I have a job, but I would love a career. And I've applied several places in nursing and forensics. And I'm currently working OBGYN part-time.
Okay.
And I just wanted to, just need a career, and I need full-time, not vacation coverage.
Okay, so you just want to find out what's going on and find out what kind of stuff that you should be looking for, or what?
Well, let's narrow it down to, you know, a job.
Okay.
I want the job before I get into a new relationship.
All right. Well, that's going to be very, very important, is to have that financial stability. And I just did a Celtic cross layout, and I'm looking at this. And we got pentacles everywhere, so this is very much money oriented. Let's see. Whoa, that is freaky. Okay, what I'm looking at, the number one card, the first card, the one that most closely represents you is the Three of Swords, heartbreak. You know, in given the spin of what you've been telling us, probably trying to find a career and looking all over. Now, the next five cards in the wheel are the Six of Pentacles, which we were just talking about tonight, the Nine of Pentacles, the Two of Pentacles, the Knight of Pentacles, and the Queen of Pentacles. Okay, I have never ever in my life seen this before, so this is really interesting. What's crossing you is, and what's bothering you right now, is the fact that you feel like you're having to get handouts from everybody around you. And the base of the problem is you want a stable life. You want the good life, and that's not anything, you know, to be ashamed of. Everybody deserves a good life. Here in the recent past, you feel like you were trying to juggle far too many things at once. And now the money is starting to come in, but you're also just starting out to a point where you're trying to achieve the money and get it to come in, the career. Coming up in the near future, the Queen of Pentacles is probably one of the better cards that you could have gotten here. Because that is a lady who is financially stable. She, you know, is her own ruler, and she has abundance around her. Now this is interesting. The commentary on this is, oh, that's nice. Okay, the commentary on the Celtic cross spread. The first card, how you see the situation. You feel like you're being a stone-cold bitch and having to fight for everything. The people around you see the situation as you sneaking off with what you need to get. And it's not necessarily taking it. It's that the opportunities are there. It's just that you're not getting them all. You're getting some of them. You're getting most of them. You're not getting all of them. What is helping or hindering you is, and this is a help in fact, it's the Six of Wands, which is what we were just talking about, the victory and the guy riding triumphant into the town. Now, the ultimate outcome, and this is what made me go, aw, so much, is the Ace of Cups, which is new love coming in and a new beginning for love and emotions. So, taken as a whole, what I would say about this is that, first off, you're just starting out trying to get the job. You're going to get one. It's going to be okay. Given that, you're going to get financially sound, okay? And then you will be able to bring that new love into your life just like you want, okay?
Okay. Wow. I'm going to have to listen to the archives because you were breaking up quite a bit. But I believe I got a lot of pentacles. I heard the Ace. I heard the Queen of Pentacles. Something about speaking off, and that the Six of Wands and the Ace of Cups. That some love in the next 6 months is coming my way.
Let's hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now remember that this could change, given now that you know what might be coming up, you could change your decisions. But if nothing, but if everything goes the way it should, that's what's coming up. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome. I'm glad you could call in. Have a nice evening, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Joy, there's going to be another caller very soon looking for another reading.
All right. Well, that's going to be great.
Yeah, we've had two calls tonight. And, I mean, our chat room is crazy busy tonight for some reason.
Where were you guys like 2 weeks ago when we were begging for callers and people to come and associate and we were just talking to each other?
I know.
But I'm glad
it's crazy.
You're here. I really am.
Thank you all for coming out of the blue. It's great. And thank you again for calling, by the way. So, yeah, hopefully the archive is more clear with the reading results.
Okay, not a problem. I do have a. How does one promote their own psychic ability? How do they develop this?
Okay, I am barely understanding you. You're breaking in and out. And I think part of it is because you're calling in and then I'm calling in as well. So,
okay.
Sort of interesting, actually, because, I thought that was me, but apparently no. Okay, so she asked how one would go about developing their own psychic ability.
Practice. Just like anything else. I mean, you get to the Carnegie Hall with practice. And it's
it really is about that. Learn to trust your intuition and... as you depend more and more upon it, it'll get stronger and you'll be able to draw on it more for a sense of what's true, what's right, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Some of the advice that I've gotten from various books at various times, one of the things that you want to try to listen for is that voice inside your head. And your gut instinct, okay?
I use those quite a bit. And I know that as I'm getting older, it's more prominent. There's less, it's louder, that feeling. And I am trusting it, and I work with it quite a bit.
Okay. The most of the time, okay. Let's see, how can I explain this right? Most
finding,
of the time...
Like, you use card. So is it finding an avenue that kind of confirms, like your cards can confirm your intuition?
That does work. The cards are simply a tool, though. They're a way to focus. Every tool, every means of divination, every way of connecting to the spirit, it comes down to you, your soul, connecting to the all. Okay?
Okay.
The all has a database of everything that is possible to know in it. And it is that connection between you and it that is the channel for what's coming up tomorrow, what's going on the other side of the planet, what you can do to help and affect the situation and everything like that, okay? The tarot, as well as the pendulum, as well as the dowsing rods, as well as, you know, throwing sticks in the air, looking at birds' flights, all of that is simply a way to focus your concentration down into a language of symbols that you can understand, that have meaning to you, okay?
Okay.
If opening up a book that you picked off the shelf at random, turning to a random page and setting your finger on a random word works as that way to focus it, that's what you do.
Okay.
And it's going to be just as accurate as listening to that inner voice of yourself, and just as accurate as me doing a tarot spread, okay?
Okay.
Or just as accurate as playing a record backwards and listening for the messages. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to tap it. Just find
that
something that you enjoy that works for you.
Yeah. Do people know what records are anymore?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think they would have to record an MP3 backwards somehow.
I think you can.
Oh, that was fun. So, we had a question. I completely forgot now. But I do appreciate what you... I will listen to the archives later, and I really appreciate the fact you... Unless you have any other insight of what I need to do or what's coming up around me.
Just a couple of things that I was thinking of while you were coming up with those questions. First off... that little voice that's inside of you and your gut feeling are you. And that is your connection to everything. It is never, ever, ever going to steer you wrong. It always works for your best benefit, okay? So if you listen to it and you learn to distinguish that voice from all the other voices that are running around in your head saying you can't, you shouldn't, let's stick our foot outside the car while the car's moving. I wonder what it would be like to jump off of this bridge. You know, things like that. Once you isolate that voice, that feeling, that gut feeling of your superconscious from everything else, it's never going to steer you wrong, okay? But the trick is that you then have to believe that.
Okay, yes, I agree. All right.
And that's the hardest thing that comes. That was the hardest lesson for me. I don't know about you, and I don't know about any of the listeners out there, but I have, like, hundreds of voices in my head all the time. They're always talking to me. There's the little boy. There's the little girl. There's the old person, you know, and they all sound differently. Well, when you can focus down onto just one, you know which one of the voices are ones that you either artificially created, ones that are saying what's not true, and you can start filtering them out until you get to that one that's left that's never going to steer you wrong. And listening to that voice is the hardest thing in the world to do. And then the next hardest thing to do is to listen to the voice of your deities when they're talking to you, because they sound just like all the others.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
Then being able to isolate out what you are creating with your mind from what is being presented. Because if you get a thought that jumps into your head saying that you need to go out and do thus and so. It could be your subconscious saying that you need to do this. It could be something that your conscious mind has come up with, or it could be your gods directing you to go out and do this. Okay?
Okay.
It's practice and experience isolating those out, and then you will know when it is you coming up with something that you shouldn't be doing that's not true, or it's coming from another source that is suggesting that you take this course of action.
I have narrowed it down to one voice and hearing her the guide's name is Helena. So I talked to that spirit.
Okay. Well, if that is, believe in yourself in that case, if that's the, if you know that that is your deity talking to you, listen to it. Don't be afraid to question it occasionally, because there are times that, oh, God, the spirits have come to me and they have gone, okay, I want you to do this, just to see if I'll go, stick it up your ass.
You're a woman after my own heart.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Yes, and my cat is screaming for somebody to come and have sex with her, so keep all the calls away.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, somebody in the chat said that they think they hear
they
a cat.
They heard the cat.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. So I really do appreciate the guidance, and I thank you for the reading, and I hope I can hear it.
Thank you very much for calling tonight.
Oh, I
we're both
fun.
Very
happy
excited
birthday.
To have suddenly
a good birthday.
This. Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you again. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Have
Bye-bye.
A great night. Bye-bye.
Oh, I feel like we should say, so, call in, if you have questions, call in to 1-800-da-da-da-da-da.
I wish I had an 800 number. That would cost a fortune.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of NPR on Saturdays, you know, so I hear the garden show of, we're going back to your fascinating questions. Kind of cute.
I'll develop something along that line, too.
Plus, I work in a call center, so, you know, somebody gets off the phone, and I'm like, you know, oh, thank you so much for calling the Enterprise Help Desk, and you have a wonderful evening, and it's really hard to stop myself from saying that.
I used to work at Directory Assistance and have that exact problem. I would automatically pick up my house phone and just, like, give the line, and it was like, oh, crap, no, hi. Oh, she's called back. Awesome. So... here's our second caller.
All right.
Hi. Hi again. I'm going to leave you on with Joy for another call.
Okay.
Hi, Brian. Hello.
Hello. Well, this is Joy. I don't know where Brian went to.
Oh,
he was
Joy.
Here.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. She asked me to call back, so you will be available. I don't even know. Am I on the radio, or I'm just in the phone conversation with you?
I believe you're all. You are live. Let me turn up my volume here. Yeah, there you are. You're on the. You're live. So.
Oh.
What's up?
She asked me to. That he told me that you were doing reading for someone, so Brian asked me to call at this time, so you will be available.
Okay. So first off, what's your name?
Roxana.
Hi, Roxana. How are you doing?
Fine.
So do you have a specific question, or do you?
Yeah, I am uncertain about the relationship with the person that I am interested.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, what do you see for us? Do you see it for us a romance and relationship, or is it just something that he probably like more like friendship for him? Or I don't know. I don't understand this person, honestly.
Okay. Well, let me see what I've got. I'm going to do 2 5 card spreads, one for you and one for him. So let me get that one out. Oh, crud. You shuffled it. Okay. All right. The one for you, these 5 cards, I'm seeing that you have a lot of mental strength, and unfortunately one of the things that you've got going against you is you got a lot of plans, but not a lot of execution of those plans. You do feel like you've got a whole bunch that's going on, but you have a lot to offer people, and that's great. As for him, let's see here.
Like today, I got an email from him again, and I don't know what is the intention of this person. It's not someone online. I know this person in person. I know him. It's not just online friend. We met many times in person.
Okay. Well, let's see. Okay. That would explain it. He's got a real problem going on with himself. The only relationships he really knows is his mother and father. And he sees himself as not really being able to provide much, at least financially, into a relationship. He's also hiding a whole lot of stuff, not from you, but more from himself, okay? And that's one of the reasons that he's been very, very standoffish. He is trying to do a long-distance relationship because he doesn't feel that he's ready for a relationship yet. And that's, you know, his comfort level. Now, let me see.
Well, I can tell you, he had several long-term, very long-term relationships, and he's not the person that actually couldn't, I don't know, maybe I don't know something, but he's okay financially. He's not homeless.
Okay.
He's not unemployed.
Sorry, I'm looking at these. Okay, this one's not working out. Let's see here. Let's try a different spread. All right, his nature is always pretty much to be the glass is half empty. Yes, he does have a whole lot going for him on an emotional level and on a financial level, but he really feels like he's lost in situations that he has no control over, and he worries about them incessantly. Yeah, he does feel like he's either in a situation where things are going great and then all of a sudden it's disaster, and he's trying to prevent that again. I have a feeling that he had this happen to him a number of times in the past, and because of that, he's trying to prevent it from happening again now with you. Which is why he's being a real standoffish. You're right, he is financially secure, but he's also juggling a lot and trying to do too much at once.
But do you know what is his intention towards me, what he actually wants from me? Because the way he acts, I cannot understand his intentions.
Well, the only thing that I can suggest, and this has nothing to do with the tarot at this point, is communication. I mean, I've been married 21 years now, and the reason that we're still married is because we communicate and we're honest with each other. You're going to have to confront him. You're going to have to talk to him. You're going to have to go, okay, here's the thing. I am feeling that you are not talking to me, and we need to talk about whatever the problems are, whatever's happening, we can work through them. You don't have to go through this alone, but you need to talk to me, okay? With him being so self-contained, trying to keep you out of it, the sharing is not there, which implies that the trust is not there, which means that you're going to know that he's keeping secrets. You're going to start feeling offended. You're going to start getting upset. Okay?
How do you tell you, I'm not, he is not like my boyfriend or he is not my fiancé. I do not want to, to ask him to tell me what's going on with his life because I'm not, you know, I respect his privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even understand his intentions because I don't even need to know what's going on, but I really don't feel I want to know what's going on, but at least I want to know his intention towards me, what he wants from me.
Well, then what you've got to figure out, honey, is, you know, what do you want from him? Do you want him as a romantic partner?
Yes, I do, but I don't know if how he feels about me because maybe there is something that prevents him from doing this, but I cannot say that. So I thought that maybe Tarot will show something.
All it's showing is that he's very, very self-contained. He's keeping a lot of secrets. He's trying very hard not to get you involved in situations that he's in. He is trying to keep those situations out of your life and you out of that section of his life, okay? And I can't tell you whether this is good, bad, or indifferent. I can't tell you. I do know that he's worrying about it a lot, and that is causing him some emotional distress. He does have a tendency to be depressed. Not depressed. Oh, crud, I can't even think of the name of it. The glass is always half empty, and the half that's left is probably poisoned, and somebody's going to come along and drink it, and they're going to get sick and die, and somebody's going to blame him for it, and because he didn't put up a sign, and you know, that type of person.
Well, I can tell you, I think it's me. For me, it's glass always half empty. He is a little bit different person. He is very optimistic.
Okay.
So maybe just the card showing me, I am very...
That might be. I mean,
yeah, I'm like this, and he is extremely optimistic. He only thinks about good things. I'm so lucky. I'm so happy. I'm this, I'm that. Well, it's okay. Never mind. Maybe just today cards didn't help much to understand what's going on in his life because whatever you said probably applies to me more than to him.
And it could be that, you know, I'm just not feeling well, so
okay.
That might be it, too.
It's okay. Not a problem. Thank you, Joy. I've got to go. It's kind of a little bit noisy at the background.
All right.
But thank you. I appreciate your time. Thank
you
so much.
You're very welcome. Have a good day, and thanks for calling.
You too.
Okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Brian, you still there? Hello? Okay, well, apparently we don't have Brian anymore. I don't know where he went to. Let's see. Oh, he's saying, Joy, let me know if you need me back. Well, since I don't have control of the chat anymore, or not the chat, the broadcast anymore, I can't take any more callers. And since he's not here to talk to, I'm just going to sit here and, I guess, talk to you all about how to do readings for others. Now, y'all have seen a few of the readings that I've done, or actually you haven't seen them, you've heard them. And what I'll tell you is that any reading, no matter who it's for or what it's for, is going to take some energy out of you, okay? So, like anything, you get out of a reading what you put into it. If you want an accurate reading for somebody else, you're going to have to put some of yourself into it. And I think I hear Brian there. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
so is our caller. A little patience actually decided to call in. So we've
really
been talking forever about all kinds of crazy shit. So, yeah, she's here for a reason. She's looking forward to it.
Hey, hon, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I think I'm okay.
Well, good. It sounds like you are just going crazy now, huh?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, all of a sudden we got all these people in the chat room and we never had anybody in there before. You're the third caller tonight when we only had one person before ever. So
I think everybody on Blog Talk's really hard to find since they've redone it. So everybody's just finding their way around, you know? So
it's possible.
Yeah, you get more popular. So I wanted to ask you about my job, if you could tell me about what you see happening with it.
Okay, let's see. What can I come up with? Your job. Let's re-sort this into the Robin Wood deck. This is a spread that was out of the Celtic Tarot. It's called the Celtic Flower.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting because it starts with the Queen of Wands. It's the position is the balance of forces. It's this is the point that everything else turns on. And the Queen of Wands is a woman of energy, somebody that has a lot of exuberance and a lot of enthusiasm for whatever it is that they're doing. Let's see, connection to the past, present. Wait a second, consequence. Okay, connection with oneself. What?
There's a lot going on, so I could see why all that would be coming up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see what's going on. Connection to the present and connection to oneself. All right, so the main focus right now for the present is money and hanging on to as much of it as you can. Not too long ago, it was you felt like you were carrying a lot of responsibility on your own shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it felt like you were carrying your team with you and you were doing all the work and they were getting all the credit. And now it's more you're getting the recognition that you feel you deserve, and now it's hanging on to the finances. Let's see, the closure. No, that can't be right. That's not a romance. It's got to be something else. Let's come back to that one. connection to you, the direction of East, the influence on the beginning, the idea and the impulse is temperance, where there's a time and a place for everything, including being crazy. This is something that you have to remember for yourself. It's not just work and work and work. It's also a time to, you remember the song Turn, Turn, Turn by the Byrds?
I think so. I'll have to look it up.
To everything, turn, turn, turn.
Oh, yeah, season. Turn, turn,
yeah.
Turn, yes.
Bible verse. But that's what temperance is. It's there's a season for everything. There's a time for everything. Sometimes it's not time for what you want to do right that moment. But there's times built in for relaxation, for sitting down and leaning back and closing your eyes and going, okay, I'm going to space out for 20 minutes or so. Don't bother me. and taking a little time for yourself, okay? And there's also the card itself, Temperance, is it says there's a moderation in all things, including moderation. So there's times to be wild. Okay, you got to remember that with this job. There's, you know, times to be serious and there's times to have fun. Don't be afraid of the times to have fun, even when it seems inappropriate, because sometimes that's exactly what you need to do. What is the influence of closure, the connection with the future, is the relationships, the interpersonal relationships you have at work, okay? These people are not your enemies. They're not out to try to make you fail. They, in a lot of ways, your success is their success, and just as their success is your success, okay? It's a symbiotic relationship, so keep that in mind also. As we take a look around the wheel here, we've got the positive influences on the north, which is the interpersonal relationship. The positive thing about that is that you can focus on others and not just yourself. That's a benefit to you because there's a lot of people that can only focus on what they have and what they're doing. Okay? The bad thing is that it feels like you're going through a rite of passage with all of this. Okay? And that's interfering with the interpersonal relationships because rites of passage you necessarily go through by yourself.
Yeah.
Others can't help you with it. In this case, they actually can. In the positive influence in the east, which is where Temperance was at, is Ten of Cups, which is a spiritually stable home, and the negative influence is the Two of Wands, which is watching and waiting for your ship to come in. In this case, what I would think those would mean is that the home life is the home life, and it needs to stay at home. And yes, there are some aspects of the job that you have to bring home, but in the most part, the job needs to stay at the job. Okay?
Okay.
Let's see. In the south, where it feels like you've been carrying far too many burdens all on your own, you have a feeling of triumph, but it's kind of a partial triumph. It's more of sticking it to other people to try to make them realize that, yes, you are doing it, and you're doing it by yourself, and it makes them feel bad somewhat, okay? And that's the positive part. The negative part is heartache and pain and sorrow, okay? It's the Three of Swords. I mean, if you remember that, that's the heart
of
the three. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
The heartbreak card.
I know
card.
That card. That's too often for me, yeah.
Well, that's along with the carrying the burdens that are too great for you, the Ten of Rods. I mean, those two cards, the positive and negative there, feed into the carrying too much and contribute to that, okay? In the west with the Four of Pentacles, you have the Six of Wands as the positive influence, and you have the Magician as the negative influence. So, in relation to hanging on to money, which is now, you're succeeding in doing it, and that's great. It's going to come, it almost feels like you're having to make it out of nothing.
Yes.
You're having
you're
to just reach up into the sky and grab something, and suddenly you have cash in your hand.
Yes.
That you have to hang on to for, you know, ever.
Yes. Exactly.
But all of this together is telling me that you're capable of doing this. It's been hard. It's going to be worth it. And as long as you can keep your enthusiasm up, you can keep your exuberance going and your level of excitement with this job going, you'll be okay.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay. You were dead on, Joy. I have to tell you, that is a perfect read right there.
Really?
Very dead on. I mean, even to the point of when you were saying you're carrying things and it's like it's your burden. I hurt my back. I mean, I was actually literally carrying things and I hurt my back because I was like doing everything and they weren't doing nothing. They were watching me.
Oh, goodness.
Yes.
Stop that. You need to wear a back brace. You know that.
Well, yeah, but they don't do that there. I was new at the time, so, you know, I'm just trying to hold my own and, yeah.
You've had a child, haven't you?
I have not.
You have not? Okay.
No, everybody says there's one hanging around me, so I'll just tell you that. I had lived in a haunted house, and I always hear there's one around me, so I don't know. I have a little friend here, I think.
Well, it was because you got to understand something. I know too many people who've had back labor, and that really messes up their back. because they get all the contractions back there.
Yes, I have had labor, yes. So, I mean, I didn't have a child, but yes, I did go through that. So.
Okay, so that's part of why you messed up your back.
Probably. You're probably exactly right. Yes, so perfect read. Love it. I will definitely be calling you back. So thank you so much. I'm
no
so excited. And Wood Woes, I don't know your name, but I will be writing
Brian.
You.
That would be
Brian.
Brian,
okay. Brian, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. But
no worries.
I will be writing you because I want to know more about that. So I thank you.
All right.
Have a great
You're
night.
Very welcome. Have a great night.
You too.
All right. And unfortunately, Bye. We're probably not going to be able to do any more readings tonight because we've only got
we have 5 minutes left.
Yeah. So once again, mention tonight the Robin Wood deck, the Druidcraft deck, which is, if you're deep into paganism and pagan expression, is another one that you want. Robin Wood is perfect for Wiccans. If you're into any other flavor of paganism, especially if it's Celtic spirituality, the Druidcraft deck is probably one of the ones that you're going to want to get, simply because it was made by Philip Carr Gomm, I believe his name is.
Yep, yeah.
Who is the current head druid of the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids, which is one of the older druid groups out there. And I've spoken with him a couple of times. He's a nice guy. Kumiko, do not... Okay. Anyway, and then there's the website that I sent you guys to, the tarotgarden.com. That is where you want to go to look up any decks that you might be thinking of buying. There's my website, aaronsjournal.com, and that is all one word with no apostrophe in it. I've put my email address in the chat, and that is joy.a.philip@gmail.com. And, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I want to thank you all for showing up tonight. It's been crazy busy.
It's been wonderful.
Very uncharacteristic. It's been really cool. You know, again, if you want to call in, ask questions, get a reading done, our number is 646-564-9966. You can call in anytime during the show. We'll probably even, you know, push aside to talk about the cards to do the reading if you feel lucky and, you know, want to call in during that period of time.
Although
you know,
this is an educational show and we're supposed to be talking about the cards and how to interpret them and how to read them. So
well, yeah.
You may want to wait until the second hour, which would be better.
That would.
Next week we are going to be talking about the sevens. We will be talking about death, and we will be talking about temperance. So
it's
going to be something that you want to tune into. And I guess that's it for me. So thank you, everybody. I've had a wonderful time. Y'all take care.
Great night. Have a good one. Thank you guys for joining us. Join us next week, same time, and we'll talk to you next week. Love having you all here. Thanks.